The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Wednesday, the 12th of September, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Merlin Marr Johnson, Chief Executive Officer of Eris Resources. That's E-R-I-S. And Merlin discusses the high-grade zinc-lead-silver grades returned at their Abbey Town project in Ireland. Also on the podcast, I have Matt Bull, Exploration Manager at Armadale Capital, ACP. And Matt discusses the progress they're making at their graphite project in Tanzania, ahead of an anticipated decision to mine in early 2019. Plus, I also have on Vadim Alexandra, Managing Director of Northland Capital Partners, discussing Evgen, EVG, ticker there. It's a clinical stage drug development company focused on the treatment of cancer and neurological conditions. Plus, as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can check out the top 10 on both those lists on the front page of Vox at voxmarkets.co.uk. And I always say it's worth looking at the top 10 most followed, because it's very much a measure of sentiment and almost money flow. So check it out, voxmarkets.co.uk.
Want to keep up to date with all the companies in your portfolio? On the free Vox Markets app, you can create multiple watch lists and get instant news alerts about any company you follow. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Merlin Marr Johnson, CEO of Eris Resources. That's E-R-I-S ticker. Merlin, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Hello.
Now, you've had some decent positive results, grade zinc, lead and silver grades returned at the Abbey Town project in Ireland, and we will get into that in a bit. Before we do, Merlin, for people who are listening right now who are not familiar with your story, what you're all about, Eris, can you explain, summarise, what's the company all about, please?
Yes, Eris Resources is a mineral exploration company with a portfolio of zinc and base metal projects and gold projects in Ireland and in Sweden. We've got the Abbey Town project in Ireland, which is 100% owned. It's a brownfields resource evaluation project. And in Sweden, we've got funded exploration with our partner, Centerra Gold, who's a mid-tier. Centerra Gold is a mid-tier Canadian company that's funding a broad exploration program in northern Sweden.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, let's get into the news. So you said, like I said, you've announced some high-grade zinc, lead, silver grades from your Abbey Town project in Ireland. Take us through this, if you could, Merlin.
Sure. The Abbey Town mine was mined in the 1950s and the early 1960s, first as an open pit and then underground. And we have reopened the underground mine, and we've made it safe. We've secured the rock faces and put on gates over the portals, cleaned up the inside, and the working area inside was quite extensive, but we could see that there was a fair amount of mineralization left inside. We have taken channel samples down eight of the pillars, spread widely across the workings internally, and we've seen some very consistent, very good grades. I mean, the best pillar returned 4 meters at 18.40 lead and zinc, combined with 117 grams per ton silver. So extremely high grade lead zinc, plus this kicker in silver, which was never mentioned in the previous resource work.
Yeah, so if someone's listening to this now and thinking, okay, well, if it was a previous mine and shut in, why is it going to be viable now? What would your answer to that be?
Well, the mine was mined room and pillar using large equipment, and there was obviously a fair amount of dilution, and we've spoken to some engineers and some mining guys who've been underground, and they estimate that there's typically about 25% of the resource is accessible. So in the sense that if they mined a million tons, you've got about 250,000 tons, which you should be able to get out. Mm-hmm. So we really fully believe that there's some brownfields expansion and also in-situ resource that we can evaluate, and we can pull out from this. And that's really what we were doing when we went back in, just to see what we could, is easily attainable. And in terms of development options, there's an existing quarry just outside the portal to the underground mine. Mm-hmm. And that quarry means that there's an industrial setup, there's power, there's discharge licenses, their trucks, there's all kinds of heavy equipment operating on site. So our capex costs are totally different. This is a shallow underground potential with already developed access and also plant machinery just outside. So the commercial threshold for development here is different to perhaps any other development opportunity, kind of greenfields development opportunity.
Yeah. Okay. So where do you go from here? So these, like I said, these grades are looking good, but if someone's looking at this, obviously it's still at very early stage. So where do you go now? Do you go down the resource, defining a resource, route, or do you drill some more? What happens? Or you drill and start drilling, or what?
Well, in parallel to this underground evaluation that we've been doing, we've been drilling the southern extensions of the mineralization for about 400 meters south of the mine. And so at the moment, what we're doing is we're tying in the surface data with the underground data. We've released to the market already the holes 1 to 4 from that drilling program, and we're collating all the remaining holes. Still waiting for some assays to come through, but once we've got those assays through, we'll be able to publish more surface drill results. And with that integrated data set, underground and surface, over a 400 meter strike length, we should be able to give the market an exploration target where we'll be able to pinpoint roughly what we feel the resource potential of that block is. And then we've got two choices. We either decide to extend exploration down the trend where we feel that we can pick up more mineralization along structure, or we focus in on doing more detailed evaluation of the resources within that 400 meter trend. And that's a board decision that we'll be coming to in the next month or two.
Okay, all right. And just quickly take us through what's happening as well, if you could, in Sweden there, for people not aware.
In Sweden, we've got a portfolio of licensed areas that are under a strategic alliance with Centerra Gold. We are drilling the Brandberg project at the moment, and we are waiting for assay data to come from that. We've been drilling that over the summer, and when we get that assay data back, we'll put out news releases updating the market on the progress there. But that is a fully funded project by Centerra, so we're not spending any money, Eris Resources money there. In fact, we actually get a management fee for doing that work.
Excellent stuff. Okay. I'm looking at, the evaluation. It's literally sub 3 million market cap. You seem to have, a lot of things going on, and it doesn't seem to be priced in here. But, of course, as a CEO, every CEO comes on the podcast, they're undervalued. But, you're very, very early exploration stage, of course. But how would someone sort of go about, valuing you, Merlin?
Well, perhaps the simplest way is just to look at the cash position. We came to the market in December last year. We raised £3.5 million net. And the plan was to, what with the cost of running the company over 15 months and the investment program in Ireland, the plan was to spend about £1.6 million over the course of 2018. And of course, we're not at the end of 2018, but we're more or less on track and on budget to do that, possibly slightly under budget. So we are an extremely well-funded exploration company, and that really is the value backstop to the share price at the moment. So you could say we're kind of almost a risk-free investment. Plus, we've got the Abytown high-grade project, and plus we've got the joint venture in Sweden with Centerra Gold.
Yeah, and you've got quite a good experienced board, haven't you, as well?
Yes, very experienced board, strong industry track record in discovery and origination of valuation of high value projects. So we'll certainly be drawing on that skill set.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure a lot of people will know, but Jeremy Martin has been on the podcast several times with Horizonte, so they'll be aware of his experience. So looking forward then, Merlin, what is this next sort of milestone or news and sort of big milestone you're hoping to achieve?
It's really a what we've got to do as a board, as a company, is to make that decision where to go on Abbeytown. Do we focus in on looking at development options and trying to work towards resource evaluation, reserve evaluation within the 400 meters of strike length that we have delineated so far, or whether we push out and continue exploration on the broader trend. And that's in the next couple of months. We make that that call on the future of Abbeytown.
Marvellous stuff. Okay, well, one final thing, Merlin, for people listening, liking the sound of this and not yet following the story, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Certainly. Well, Abbeytown, it's high-grade mineralization. We've seen that in the news release today. It's in mine, and it's over 400 meters going from that mine down to the south, and it's high-grade lead, silver, and zinc. And that silver hasn't really been understood. It's an extremely valuable part of the mix, and there's also copper as well that we're not really talking about. So high-grade mineralization at Abbeytown. The second is the fact that it offers low-cost development options with its underground access, the fact that it's got the quarry in front and existing infrastructure, power and water and machinery is all right there. And then the third is that we are a well-funded company. We've got an extremely experienced team and we're operating in low-risk European countries. So those are the three reasons.
Marvellous stuff. Merlin, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Matt Bull, Exploration Manager at Armadale Capital. That's ACP ticker. Matt, thanks for joining me.
It's great to be here, Justin.
Now, I've been watching your company for a while. I do like the story, and I do hold a bit of stock for transparency because you are in graphite, and that's a very exciting space as far as the EV sort of story is concerned. But for people not aware of Armadale Capital, Matt, could you give a summary? What are you about, please?
Armadale Capital is an investment company focused on mining projects in Africa. Mm-hmm. Currently, its main focus is the Mahenge-Liandou project, where we recently completed a scoping study which showed very favourable results.
Yeah, and we'll get into that in a bit. Before we do that, let's go into the latest bit of news, because you released an RNS just back end of August saying Mahenge-Liandou graphite project feasibility study. So you're moving it on. What's the latest bit of news here then?
We've just completed the diamond drilling program, which is going to be used to get product quality test work done so we can start to get marketing agreements and offtake agreements with our end users in China.
Okay, so explain. I know people, when it's talking about Tanzania, there's some people have some fears about it, because I know there's been some concerns from mining companies out there and all that stuff. But can you explain at the moment, what's the situation like in Tanzania? Because I know you're on the ground there, you obviously know it a lot more than just people talking about it, but there's nowhere near it. What is it like at the moment for mining companies or exploration companies in Tanzania there, Matt?
The situation's improving quite a lot. In August this year, the Mining Commission was set up to try and implement the new mining laws, which were put in place in July the previous year. And since that's been put in place, quite a few companies are now starting to get their mining permits granted and environmental permits and social permits granted. And now there's quite a lot of activity back in the mining sector in Tanzania, which is quite a significant change from 6 months ago.
Yeah, so it seems to be moving in the right direction. Is that the case?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Well, listen, let's go into your scoping study, because it delivered some excellent figures, and an IRR, internal rate of return, of 122% is one of the figures where I've never seen, and very, very rare do you see companies, you know, returning figures above 100% like that. So that's good. I mean, take us through some of the other figures, if you could there, Matt.
The project has a net present value of $349 million US dollars, and that's based on a 400,000 ton per annum throughput rate over a 32-year mine life. So it's a very large mine life project, and it's showing exceptional rates of return.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking at your market cap. You are around about, you're valued, they say, around about just under £5 million at the moment. And so I assume, you know, people are sort of pricing the risk of Tanzania, but you say it's getting better there. And so where you are at the moment, you've done a scoping study, you're heading towards feasibility study. Can you give us any sort of timelines on what you hope to achieve and the next milestone you hope to achieve and when you will achieve it, please, Matt?
we're planning to update the mining resource and then create a mining reserve for the first time later in 2018. Mm-hmm. At this stage, we're looking to finish a feasibility study early in 2019.
Okay, all right. One other thing, it's very worth explaining to people, isn't it? I mean, people are not aware of the role graphite plays, you know, in the EV revolution, because everyone sort of focuses on lithium and maybe some nickel and copper, but almost graphite seems a poor relation, and people don't. I remember once Elon Musk said about lithium that it's very much the salt in the salad and that graphite is the main component of his batteries. So it has a huge part to play, doesn't it?
Yes, demand for graphite's largely been driven by the growth of the EV market, which is really starting to pick up at the moment. So we can really foresee significant growth in demand for graphite over the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, and I suppose it's worth pointing out, you believe in the project because you own a fair bit of stock yourself, don't you?
Yes, I've bought up a substantial amount of stock in the last capital raise. So, yeah, I really believe in the story.
Yeah. So you just said you think it's playing through in Tanzania there, so it seems to be going in a positive direction. So explain the matter. So one final thing, if someone's listening to this right now and likes the sound of what you're doing there, but are not yet following the story, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watchlist, please.
I would say the first reason would be that the project has very high quality graphite with a very large flake size, which is in the strongest demand for a range of different uses, including the battery space. It's also, the project is a very low cost project with an operating cost of around $408 per tonne, which is one of the lowest operating costs in the sector. And the other reason is the company is currently quite undervalued relative to other companies in the sector.
Absolutely. Matt, listen, it's good to chat to you and good to get you on. Hopefully, you know, you could update this in the not too distant future. But until then, thanks very much.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Vadim Alexandra, Managing Director of Northland Capital Partners. And today we're talking about EVGEN, EVJ's ticker. Vadim, thanks for coming on the podcast again.
Thank you. Sorry, it's EVG. Sorry.
What did I say?
It said EVJ.
Oh, sorry.
And I know how important it is to get the tickers
right,
because then they won't find the stock.
I don't know why I said that. I've got EVJ, EVG. I've said it. That's EVG. Why. Yeah.
Okay. I know what'll happen. Everyone's going to go to EVJ and say,
exactly.
Ticker not found.
Let's start again. Let's do it. Third time lucky. This is it. Here you go. And joining me on the podcast right now is Vadim Alexandra, Managing Director of Northland Capital Partners. And today we're talking about EVGEN, it's EVG ticker. Vadim, thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Now, you've been on before, and I know about EVGEN, you know, vaguely know about it. I know it's in a small market cap, and I like that space, you know, sub 20 million. But just give us an overview before we get into the news here. What does EVGEN do, Vadim?
Okay, so EVGEN is a drug development company. They're currently running two clinical trials. One is in the area of oncology, and the other one is in the area of neurology. And basically, they are studying a compound called sulforaphane, which is a naturally derived compound. It's found in vegetables such as broccoli, mustard seeds, brassica-type vegetables. So what they're doing is they're studying that compound. They're currently in clinic, and hopefully we'll have two positive readouts by the end of the year.
Okay, so already I quite like that, because first of all, it's almost like you say it's naturally occurring. I like that. And so just for people who are not aware, I mean, first investors are listening, when companies go through these trials, there's typically three phases in clinical studies.
Correct, that's right.
And so what phase are they at the moment?
So both the trials are phase two trials. Mm-hmm. However, one of the two phase two trials has had an interim readout. Okay. And that interim readout is actually quite positive, so much so that they've decided that they will progress to the next phase of trials. So that one is going to go into what's known as a phase 2B trial. Mm-hmm. But they're still obviously, they're continuing the trial because they want to get the data because they've commenced the trial, so they might as well finish it. However, the second trial is another phase 2 trial. That was in breast cancer. Mm-hmm. The second trial is a stroke trial, and that one should read out hopefully by the end of this year. So two phase two trials, one of them is successful effectively, the second one is reading out at the end of this year.
And obviously, this is almost two bites of the apple here. So they've got two chances of commercializing this drug in different areas. Is that right?
Absolutely. And this is what we really like about this stock, is that it's a platform technology. So this sulforaphane molecule, which I mentioned earlier, is it's naturally derived, which normally gives it a kind of, if you like, a lower risk profile. It's less likely of causing really bad side effects because, we consume it every day in our broccolis, et cetera, you know. However, now that it's pharmaceutical grade and pharmaceutical dosing, we can get all the benefits of it. And so we like that. You know, we like the fact that this is a platform technology that can be used in multiple indications as well. So they're trying it in two indications, but there are many other indications where it's shown some activity. And, you know, testament to that, there are several clinical investigators that are out there. So these are academics, other organizations such as, you know, the British Heart Foundation, Stroke Foundation, who have taken interest in this molecule and who would have to come to Evgen to run clinical trials. And they're in multiple discussions of that sort. So there may be many more, as you say, shots on goal with other indications. The current two are the ones that are run by Evgen, but other, you know, sponsored trials by other third parties might be coming in the pipeline in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've got, so take us through exactly the two areas at the moment they're testing for. It's breast cancer, and what was the other one again?
And the other one is stroke. It's a specific type of stroke. Yeah. It's called, I won't get into the details, but SAH is an acronym for a type of hemorrhagic stroke, okay? But the idea there is that there's really nothing in the area currently that really works. There's an old molecule that's been in place for 40 years now, and any kind of moderate improvement on people who suffer from these strokes would be a major step change in this field. So so far there's evidence enough for them to be conducting this trial. So hopefully we'll see a positive outcome. Just to tell you, there is a peer out there, unfortunately, who failed in its clinical trials, but completely unrelated, testing this old molecule and an old delivery mechanism, a new delivery mechanism. And that company is called Edge Therapeutics. It had a market cap of about $400 million listed on NASDAQ.
NASDAQ, okay, I see. And we're sub 20 million with Evgen. Okay.
Exactly.
So at the moment, so this was in June, was it? There was an interim update on STEM trial, and that showed encouraging signs.
Correct. So that's the breast cancer trial.
Yeah. So how long now until the next sort of big milestone there, do you think?
So first things first, they will run almost the rest of the trial. They don't need to run the full initial 60 patients because the signal was so strong at the interim level that the clinical investigator deemed it worthy of doing the next double-blinded trial, which would be the phase 2B. So this is a phase 2A trial. Long story short, that's very good. That's a very good signal. That means that, you know, there is enough in it, more than enough in it to continue investigating. So the purpose of the trial has been achieved. What they're going to get from the rest of the trial or the rest of the patients that are tried is better data, how to better calibrate their phase 2B trial that they've now decided they will conduct. Okay, so that's it's a very strong result in terms of that interim readout, because it was strong enough that you don't really need to conduct the rest of the trial.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a good sign.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you've got that and then the breast cancer there and the stroke, obviously, both very big markets, aren't they?
Absolutely. So look, the stroke, the something about stroke is that, yes, there's a lot of interest around stroke and there's the broader indication of stroke, which is something they can, you know, the company is considering in the future of looking at potentially with partners. This indication is a smaller indication. These hemorrhagic strokes represent, you know, a small subset of the total population of strokes. Okay. So most strokes are not hemorrhagic strokes. However, they've been given an orphan designation for it, which is an achievement in and of itself. And that's what Edge Therapeutics, that peer that I was mentioning before, also had. Unfortunately, their trial failed, but that obviously, you know, sets the stage for a novel molecule like sulforaphane, which is Evgen's, to they'd be a first mover in this space. If they showed any evidence of any efficacy that was remotely better than the current standard of care, they'd have a big drug, just like the peer Edge did, and you know how they got to $400 million in valuation. And they did that on stroke, this hemorrhagic stroke alone. So Edge was valued at $400 million just on that one indication, whereas Evgen has, as we know, two shots on goal because their breast cancer trial is going very well too. and more potentially in the future, because sulforaphane, as I was saying, you know, has shown efficacy. Well, it's early days. That's a strong word. But I guess what I'm trying to say is there is clinical evidence in other areas as well. And there's a lot of interest. I mean, there's already over, 200 publications on this area. There's a lot of interest around this molecule. And they are the only ones that have locked down the ability to stabilize it. That's their real platform technology. That's the key here.
Yeah. And as far as, funding is concerned, are they obviously funding for these trials, I assume?
Yes, they're funded to complete the trials. And then this is common with drug development businesses. You're funded up to a milestone. Here they're funded to two milestones, one of which effectively has been reached, which is the breast cancer one. Now we're just waiting for the readout on the stroke trial. And then after that, it's the next step is what they decide to do. Do they decide to move towards commercialization on the stroke, the stroke indication, which I think is there's a good chance of that, because it's an interesting field. Breast cancer, they'll have to consider how they decide to fund the next phase 2B trial, all of which is a nice place to be, because if you have two positive readouts, you're doing very well.
Yeah, absolutely. Marvelous stuff. Okay. Well, and just recap again, you did mention some further dates down the line. So what are these sort of milestone dates you mentioned earlier?
Yeah, so I guess the biggest one now that's coming would be the readout of the stroke trial, which is end of this year. I would expect it to be like sometime in December. Recruitment's going well, so far they're happy with the way the trial is being conducted. We'd expect a readout end of this year. Probably towards the very end of this year.
Excellent stuff. Okay, Vadim, one final thing, just a sort of roundup here. If someone's listening to this, likes the sound of what Evgen are doing, but are not following the story as yet, could you give us three quick reasons why someone should hit that follow button on Evgen's page on Vox Markets and add them to the watch list, please?
Perfect. So, A, it's a lower risk molecule because it's naturally derived. So far, they've seen almost no evidence of any side effects or any significant side effects. So that's important. And, we like that a lot. It's a platform technology as well. So it's applicable against multiple indications. That makes it an even lower risk molecule because you have multiple shots on goal. The second point is valuation. As you've, rightly identified, the peers were valued at, 10 times almost what Evgen is currently valued at, and Evgen is a lower risk molecule. So those two in combination makes it, grossly undervalued, and that's what we think, that's what Northland thinks, and that's what we've, we stand behind. And then the final thing is, this valuation may not stay here for very long. So it's the clinical readouts are coming. One has been very positive and hasn't been really appreciated by the market, which is the breast cancer one that we discussed earlier. And the other one is pending. If they come out with a positive readout on the stroke trial, I think it's good risk return. They're grossly undervalued. There's a major milestone coming still. So I don't think it'll be here long, provided, the trial reads out positively.
Absolutely. Marvelous stuff, Vadim. Thanks for that. And hopefully we'll get an update in the not too distant future. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Savannah Petroleum, SAVP. At four, Obtala, OBT. At three, Predator Oil and Gas, rising strongly again. At two, Brave Bison Group, BBSN. And number one most followed company on Vox Markets is Tuple, T-O-O-P. Of course, we had the CEO on yesterday, Andy. All right, top five most liked RNSs comes from the following companies. At five, Active Energy Group, update on Newfoundland and Labrador. At four, Core Potash, dedicated offshore transshipment area license. At three, Macango Resources. Macango announces directed dealings. They always put their RNSs in capital letters. So it's almost like a Macango announces directed dealings. Almost shouting it, Echo Energy, interim results at two. And number one most liked RNS came from UK Oil and Gas. 18 months planning extension approved. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.